WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown, glad to have you here. About 2 hours ago in the city market, Greg Ballard, who has been mayor for almost 7 years, says he will not go for a third term. In his statement, he basically said he's making a personal decision, saying that he's committed, quote, most of my life to service, but there are other things Winnie and I want to be able to do. That's why I've reached this decision, end of quote. In his statement, the mayor talked about what he considers his major accomplishments, which include getting an agreement with the Environmental Protection Agency that saved residents more than $1 billion. And you can, Drew, you can call that gentleman now. He's standing by. As well as claims that he stood up for property tax caps, managed his way through the Great Recession, talked about the city growing, slashing city debt, proposing a new criminal justice center, moving forward on regional mass transit, and a lot of other accomplishments that the mayor feels are important for his legacy. Now we're facing for the first time since 1999, so that will be since 16 years ago, an open mayor's race with no incumbent running for mayor. Joe Hogsett is one of two probable Democratic candidates in the Democratic primary. State Representative Ed Delaney is another that has put out an exploratory committee. Sam Carson has also filed paperwork for an exploratory committee for a run as an independent candidate for mayor. State Senator, can't think of his name, they're all new, Jim Merritt. Already started talking. He ran to the television cameras yesterday saying that he is thinking about it. We're about to open up the phone lines and find out what you all think about, the legacy of, Mayor Greg Ballard. But we wanted to get some perspectives of people who, you know, who have either worked with Mayor Ballard or, covered Mayor Ballard, to give, to make sure that we've got a perspective from different sides. Robert Vane, is a longtime, Republican public servant, political operative. He worked with, Greg Ballard during the initial transition, after the 2007 election. Then he joined the Ballard administration in the first term as communications director, assistant chief of staff, deputy mayor, grandiose title. He's now an independent business person and consultant, but he knows Greg Ballard very, very well. And Robert Vane joins me live. Robert, welcome.
Thank you, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine. When I looked at the mayor's remarks and listened to him this afternoon, I really felt that this was the first time all summer where the mayor was forceful. I had felt most of the summer that the mayor didn't seem to have his heart in it, and that's unusual for Greg Ballard. You know, how would you describe today, and how would you describe his mood the last several months?
Well, I'd say, obviously, he always had his heart in being mayor, serving the people, getting things done. That's never been in question, should never have been in question. But, as you know, you've interviewed political candidates for decades now. It takes a lot out of you, especially in a campaign like mayor. It's a nuts and bolts political campaign. It can be really tough. It can be really negative. That's a lot to go through for anybody. Greg Ballard will be 60 years old here in about 2 weeks. Spent over half his life in public service. It's reasonable for him to say, look, I'm ready to do something else.
In terms of the, because there's always been the public Greg Ballard that everybody sees in front of the camera, but the other public Greg Ballard, that shows compassion. The first time I saw it was after he became mayor-elect, when he took a tour of those dog god-awful apartments over by the Meadows right after that young girl, Tanjanae Bailey, had been killed. And then the compassion that then Mayor-elect Greg Ballard showed on the morning of Julia Carson's funeral, when he and you actually followed along when he made the decision that he was going to walk behind Julia's cortege from her house all the way down to the State House.
That's right. It was a cold morning. We got a call the day before. As you mentioned in the intro, I was press secretary for his transition. Mm-hmm. Carson family called us and said, would you do us the honor of walking in the procession? Mayor immediately said yes, and he still talked about it. Matter of fact, I was just at lunch with him less than an hour ago, and he brought that up as something that he remembered. The Carson family has always been very kind to Greg Ballard. I remember when I started as deputy chief of staff, within the first week, we had he and Congressman Carson on a joint event about some infrastructure spending, I believe. He's always been a fan. They've always had a great relationship. Remember, the mayor went to school at like 25th and Sherman. So it's not like he descended down from Zionsville or came up from Martinsville. I mean, he's been a part of this city his whole life, except when he was in the Marine Corps. And that's what drove him to run. He wanted to serve his city like he served his country.
He talked about a lot of things in his statement, a lot of things that he wants the community to understand. What do you think, if you had to rank him, knowing what you know about him, what would you rank as his top five accomplishments?
He mentioned a lot of them in the speech, as you said. The rebuild Indy and the reengineering of the water system and the water construction that take place, that's number one. I'd say that's got to be number one. I think sustainability is something he's very proud of. The bike lanes are something he's very proud of. All the construction and all the jobs that it's created while he's been mayor is something he's very proud of. I'd also say, not necessarily the Super Bowl, like the event, but just how this city came together to host something that none of us, Amos, you've been here decades. I was born here in Indianapolis in 67, lived here my whole life except when I was in the Army. I never dreamed the city of Indianapolis would host a Super Bowl. And the way we came together for that was absolutely amazing. Those are the kind of things he's proud of. He's always focused on a sense of community and a sense of service. Okay. And those are the things that I think he talked a little bit about today. And if you sat down with him and had a conversation with him, those are the things he would focus on as well.
We have not had an open mayor's race in this city since 99. And I think at that time, people knew who Sue Ann Gilroy was because she was the current Secretary of State of Indiana, had worked a number of years with Dick Lugar. Bart Peterson was still really an unknown commodity to many people here in Indianapolis and Marion County. Now, obviously, on the Democratic side, there's Joe Hogsett, a well-known commodity, Ed Delaney, a known commodity. On your side of the street, I've heard a number of names bandied about. Of the names that you're hearing, who are they? You don't have to pick your choice today. But who are they? What are their qualities?
Well, all the names that I've heard, some of the names you just listed before I came on air, all very well qualified.
I know State Senator Jim Merritt from the northeast side of the city.
Northeast side of the town. A lot of people are talking about another former boss of mine, Murray Clark, whose family's been involved in Indianapolis for decades. There are a lot of opportunities for Republicans with the right message and the right effort to still prevail. If anyone told you in the summer of 2007 that Greg Ballard was going to be mayor, no one would have believed it, and I certainly wouldn't have. I told him many times, I'm like, I still can't believe you're mayor, just because the fact of where he came. In his own way, Greg Ballard is a political phenomenon. You'll never have that again, or at least it would be extremely rare if something like that happens again. And so if the Republicans are smart, and we've got a great county chairman in Kyle Walker and a great support staff for him, they'll find someone who's going to parrot in a good way a lot of what Greg Ballard said, a lot of what Greg Ballard did, and how he connected to the ordinary voter. I've been with the mayor when he walks into a VFW hall or an American Legion hall, and the reception he gets is unbelievable. That's part of his connection. He looks like everybody, and he acts like everybody.
How important is it that in this race, the next race for mayor of Indianapolis, whoever the candidates are, Democrat or Republican, they have to be someone that people feel they would be comfortable with, either drinking a soda pop or something a little stronger in their homes or at a restaurant or at the Mickey D's, or be comfortable walking around a Target with?
Completely agree with that. It's hugely important. Would I rather watch a football game with Barack Obama than Mitt Romney, even though I'm a Republican? Yeah, probably would. Probably same true in 2008. That makes a huge difference. Personality makes a huge difference. It was big. Look at Frank O'Bannon. He was everybody's grandfather.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not get along with that guy? And people have been critical of other politicians who are, I won't name necessarily, who from both parties who are a little stiff. But Greg Ballard never, ever, spent thousands and thousands of hours with Colonel Ballard in hundreds and hundreds of meetings. I never heard him talk about anything other than what he thought was best for the city, ever, including driving past Winona and going, we got to get rid of that thing. Keystone Towers, we got to get rid of that thing. It's a blight.
Do you think over the next year, I know the mayor said he's going to keep his foot on the pedal and keep serving the people of Indianapolis until time runs out when Ryan Seacrest says that we've gone from 2015 to 2016? But do you think the First Lady, Winnie Ballard, is already starting her list of what she wants to do in 2016 with her better half?
Well, they've traveled the world mostly because of his service in the Marine Corps, and their kids are grown. He could have, after he got out of the Marine Corps in 2001, he could have lived anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He came back to Indianapolis. He wanted to send his kids to school here. Both his kids are out of high school. They're out of college. They're living their own lives. They're wonderful children. I hope they come up with a list to do lots of great things, but I would imagine the majority of that list will be right here in Indianapolis.
All right, Robert Vane, thank you very much with your insights on Mayor Greg Ballard. Appreciate you being here. Thank you very, very much. Mary Beth Schneider was a longtime reporter covering politics at the local level, both at the local city level and the state level for the Indianapolis Star. Now she is retired, but she keeps her hand in the game because she's on every Sunday morning with This Week in Indiana. She's part of that political panel that helps Rafael Sanchez on Sunday morning. Mary Beth Schneider joins me live. Mary Beth, welcome. Your reaction to, first of all, Greg Ballard not going for a third term, and what is his legacy?
Well, first off, I don't think too many people were surprised. This seems to have been a decision coming for some time, and I think probably a wise one. Not that he couldn't necessarily get reelected, but third terms have often been extremely difficult for Indianapolis mayors, and sometimes you think maybe they would have been better off sticking with two. And his legacy is I think it's going to take a while to know. I have not ever known a mayor that you couldn't say both, you'd find good things that they did, made the city better,
right,
and in other areas that just either were ignored or just didn't work out. You always have to ask yourself, is the city a better place now than it was when he took office? And I think that Mayor Ballard in a lot of areas can say yes. You only have to drive around downtown, the cultural trail, there's a vibrancy of life there that I don't think was really quite there 8 years ago. On the other hand, you can drive around downtown now and you see, those parking meters, which personally drives me absolutely crazy because they're hard to use. End up always paying the max just because it's easier. And then there are other areas, neighborhoods that perhaps you still have abandoned housing. There'll long be a certain amount of controversy if it ever gets fully realized over the cricket field. and then there's always the issue of is crime, it being addressed in the right way. But I could have said that definitely 8 years ago with Bart Peterson. I could have said it 8 years before that and 8 years before that. So you know, it really is an ongoing struggle for whoever is mayor of Indianapolis.
And Mary Beth Snyder, I don't know whether you have seen the text of the mayor's statement that he made at 12 noon at the City Market, but you mentioned the parking meters. There was no mention of that, and no mention in his entire statement of either the words public safety or crime, which I think is just...
Yeah, that's probably too bad. He probably should have brought those up. I wouldn't expect him to bring up parking meters or cricket.
Yeah. No, but, cricket I do.
But crime, definitely. I do think he clearly tried. He made some changes there with public safety that seemed to be good changes.
State Senator Jim Merritt, set the record for running to the media immediately after the Indianapolis Star broke the story officially that the mayor was not going to run for a third term. There are people, so his name is the first one bandied about. You knew him from covering the Indiana General Assembly. For my listeners that aren't familiar, who is Senator Jim Merritt? What are his qualities?
Solid Republican, but he's not a conservative firebrand. He's not ideological. I think he is much more business community oriented. He's fairly soft-spoken. I would never imagine him going up to the podium and pounding his fist. Mm-hmm. He's in a leadership position in the Senate, and so I was surprised that somebody didn't mention him as a possibility for mayor when they were throwing out names. And the answer I got back was, well, he's got this great job. Yeah, it's a pretty good job in the state Senate, but it's limited. Unless David Long is going to go somewhere, and that doesn't seem likely, the chances of rising higher there are not good. And you also have to wonder if perhaps another state job might be more interesting. On the other hand, mayor of Indianapolis is the second best executive job in the state, right?
Okay.
It's a very powerful job, a chance to put into play. So I'd be surprised if he wasn't interested. But I honestly don't know right now, and I doubt the Republicans do, exactly who is their best fit going up.
But isn't it the usual rule that the one that wants it the most, or the one that wants everybody to think that thinks wants it most, is the one that runs to the microphones first and said, I'm thinking about it?
Well, that doesn't seem to be true on the Democrat side, does it?
No. They got so many people.
The guy who runs through the microphone first usually gets it on the Democrat side.
How important, Mary Beth, in a mayor's race, the qualities of can people feel comfortable sitting down with that candidate?
Huge. I think that is absolutely huge. And when Mayor Ballard first won election, I think he won it more because Bart Pearson lost it.
Mm-hmm.
But he never could have won it if people also didn't feel, I don't really know that much perhaps about Greg Ballard. I'm not happy with what's happening under Mayor Peterson. But Greg Ballard came across as a straight-shooting, honest guy whom they could trust. And he kept that image through 8 years. So I think some of the problems that pop up in any administration, they really didn't seem to rub off that much on Greg Ballard because people ultimately think of him as a good guy. You go look back, too, to Bill Hudnut.
Yeah.
Now, he was there for quite a while, but what did people like about him? He was the city's biggest cheerleader.
Right.
And it made people feel good. And, Steve Goldsmith never was. He never really was a great cheerleader. He was a bureaucrat and a manager, and people perhaps were comfortable putting him in there, but he didn't waste a lot of time making people feel like he's the good next door neighbor.
Why do I think some of this you will hear on Sunday morning, on This Week in Indiana?
Well, unfortunately, not this week for me, although I imagine from Jen Hollowell, who clearly, would have been helping to run Mayor Ballard's reelection campaign if he'd run. She knows an awful lot about it. I'm getting a new couch.
I'm not mad.
It is being delivered. I told them I couldn't go on this week.
See, when you make those decisions, you never know what's going to happen. Mary Beth Snyder, still not, and she's not retired. She's just a journalist in resting. Formerly with the Indianapolis Star, but on most Sunday mornings on WRTV's This Week in Indiana. Thanks very much for being with us. All right, what is your reaction to Mayor Ballard's announcement that he will not run for a third term? 239-1310. 239-1310. How should our African-American community evaluate his service? 239-1310 or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Lines are open now. We'll get your reaction after these.
Hi, this is State Representative Greg Porter, and you are listening to Indiana Broadcasters Hall of Fame inductee Amos Brown, right here on 1310 The Light.
You've heard a couple of different perspectives on Mayor Greg Ballard, one from Robert Bain, who worked with him, knows him, another from Mary Beth Schneider, veteran journalist. The other thought on Greg Ballard and his legacy, particularly as it relates to our African-American community, comes actually from the words of Mayor Ballard himself in one of the few interviews he ever did on this program. In fact, the last sit-down interview he did on this program, which was back at the end of January 2011. Let me play you what he said, because I think his words are how our African-American community should evaluate the years of service and the tenure of mayor of Greg Ballard.
Now, I would tell you, Amos, honestly, now, so I'm trying to convince you here. I know you got all this institutional memory with you, but I would tell you, if I wasn't a Republican, you'd say that I'm the most African-American friendly mayor in the history of the city of Indianapolis.
Now you're going up against Hudnut now.
And I'm just telling you, but this is 2.5 years.
That's 2.5 years.
3 years, 3 years.
And he had 16.
All of those impact the African-American community. Every one of them, because we're trying to do the right thing in the city. And I'm just trying to convince you to come to the light. Come to the light.
We're already at the light.
Look at that. Come to the light. You need to understand what's been going on.
All right. Well, Mayor, let me ask you. That was the clip. That's the first time Drew has heard that. And that is what the mayor said on this program 3 years ago, a little more than 3 years ago, that he considered what he had already done in his first term and being the most African-American friendly mayor in the history of the city. So maybe that is that how our community should evaluate him? How should the community evaluate the service of Greg Ballard, who made the announcement official a couple of hours ago that he is not running for a third term? 239-1310, 239-1310. Lines are open. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Amos. You know, I was shocked, but I wasn't shocked. You know, when Mayor Ballard made his first run, I voted for him, and I have a lot of respect for the mayor for serving the country and also serving the city. Only thing that I disagree with when it comes to our community, because I'm one from the community that lives in the community, which is very much for the community, and I have always had a problem with a state of downtown. You know, I just got through hearing Mary Beth talking about how the mayor is the second most powerful position in the state of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, and really, my conversation is to the voters out there. Who are we going to put in the second most powerful position? Not for the state of downtown, but for the state of our school closing, for the state of the abandoned houses, for the state of the food desert in our community. Because if we settle for anything lesser, then you know what? We need not to vote at all. We need to put somebody down there that is going to stick with us. Because corporations, Simons, the Urseys, those billionaires, they are together. They are together. They're talking about the state of downtown, but they ain't talking about the state of 25th and Brightwood. They're not talking about the state of 16th and Pierce or the state of Raymond and Shelby Street. You don't hear that conversation going on. The state of 38th and Midhopper. You know, you don't hear that conversation going on. Only time you hear them when they want your vote, neighborhood.
All right, good
Damon,
point.
Thank you.
Good points. Let me go to Kevin, 239-1310. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Amos. You know you got the best show in the city.
Thank you.
With that clip, do Mayor Ballard think the black community owe him something? Because he hired a few black deputy mayors. They're going to be gone after he leaves. So I want the next mayor to do a little bit better. Have a nice day.
All right. Appreciate that. In Mayor Ballard's statement, that he gave at the city market at 12 noon this morning, where he listed a lot of his accomplishments. It is interesting he makes no mention in his statement at all about charter schools or education. I have read this statement now three or four times, and I'm really surprised that he made no mention of education or mayor's charter schools. The only mention of anything that directly impacts African-Americans is the a line in his remarks where he says, quote, "We eliminated the backlog of discrimination claims and cut the time it takes to resolve a case by about 75%, end of quote. And the mayor makes no statement at all about his efforts, particularly that he did in the first term, about offender reentry. And I am reading this statement again, and there's absolutely nothing about public safety, which is extraordinarily surprising. Anyway, 239-1310, I'm going to talk to Joe Slash in a hot second. Let me go to Fred right quick. Hi, Fred.
Hi, James.
Hi.
I'm a little concerned about his not discussing the cricket field, the changes in the political structure of Indianapolis and Marion County. By eliminating the at-large council members, also giving complete control of the budget to the mayor, from the standpoint that there have been a lot of unbidded contracts left.
Right.
Just look at this proposal for this Justice Center.
Yeah.
And there's been money spent that has, nobody knows who it went to or why it was spent or how it's being spent. You know, the construction of the new high-rise at Market Square,
mm-hmm.
in any other city, that valuable piece of property would not require a tax break.
Mm.
In downtown Chicago, that is a high-priced piece of property. It would, any developer would have taken that because they're going to make profit off of that high-rise.
All right, good point, my brother. I appreciate it. Let me go to Joe Slash, former deputy mayor under Mayor Bill Hudnut, former president of the Indianapolis Urban League. Joe, it's always good to talk to you. How would you assess Greg Ballard's legacy?
Well, first of all, Amos, let's thank Mayor Ballard for his public service and wish him well on whatever he decides to do for the future. I'd like to just focus on a couple things, both in the area of public safety. I'm sorry I didn't say more about it during his in his statement. But Mayor Ballard, right after he was elected, I went to him as I guess you could say wearing my Urban League hat and as a member of the Police Merit Board, and told him that I thought we had a flawed process for selecting new officers and promotions that were resulting in fewer and fewer minorities getting appointed and promoted to the department. And he quickly agreed with me and said, we got to do something about that. And that's when we put a, he asked me to help him put a task force together. We made many recommendations, most of which were implemented, and now we're seeing the results of recruit classes that are being much more diverse and representative of the demographics of the population. And now we're looking at how can we tweak the promotion process to give us those same results. So the second piece he did that I don't think a lot of people have focused on was when he basically professionalized the leadership of the public safety department. And let's say the first experiment with Dr. Straub didn't work out, but bringing in Troy Riggs, the best of who was available out here after a nationwide search, I really think that was a good stroke on his part to professionalize the management of the department. And I would hope that whoever comes in, be they Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, or Independent, continues to look at our public safety department under professional best professional leadership we can find.
Are you surprised? I don't know whether you have, whether you heard the mayor's whole statement or seen the prepared text, that he didn't mention public safety or education.
I am surprised because, you know, he's taken big strides in both of those areas. I mean, no other mayor has talked about putting city money in funding preschool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mayor Peterson did some things to promote charter schools and choice, but I'm surprised. And the mayor's remarks that there was no mention of either education or public safety, but I can tell you from my experience of being there, two terms is probably enough.
Mm-hmm.
When I first went to the office with Mayor Hudnut, it was a two-term limit. That was one of the compromises that had to be made to get the UNIGOV legislation through the General Assembly. It was put a two-term lid on the mayor of Indianapolis, and then as Hudnut got closer and closer to that end of second term, the lid was taken off, and they first made it just three terms with still a limit on it, and then open season on however long you want to stay in there. But, you know, having been there through two terms and going into, actually I stayed through most of the third term, it takes a toll.
Mm-hmm.
And, in Mayor Hudnut's case, eventually, had a separation and divorce from his wife. And I can tell you, we were all different people, after living through the second and going through the third term. And a lot of things happened that said it was time for me to transition out when I did. But a lot of the people stayed with Mayor Hudnut through 4 years. And it takes a toll of stress on you. So with all due respect to the mayor, I'm sure that the quality of life things that he and his wife enjoyed doing are things he's going to look forward to.
Is it, what should the qualities of the next mayor be?
Well, I think next mayor, I'd like to see if we could put a ball in the smorgasbord pot and get some of the things that Mayor Ballard's done, some of the things that Mayor Hudnut did, some of the things Mayor Peterson has done, Mayor Goldsmith, and say, now how can we find a candidate who will be all of these things, go back to having someone who's a cheerleader for the city like Mayor Hudnut, go to Mayor Peterson, who began to take the lead with the city getting involved in education. You know, back when we were there, nothing wouldn't touch it. You know, he said, you know, the school boards are separately elected officials. But, you know, time came that we needed to think outside the box and begin to meddle in the affairs of education. And I'm happy that the last two mayors have. But I think that someone who will represent this city, regardless of the political party, someone who will continue to help us make the progress we've had in public safety so that we can, in fact, achieve a police department and fire department that look like the city we live in terms of our demographics, Amos.
All right, Joe Slash, former deputy mayor under Mayor Bill Hudnut, former head of the Indianapolis Urban League, his take on the legacy of Mayor Greg Ballard, as well as the mayor's decision today not to seek a third term. I appreciate it. 239-1310.
Thank you, Amos. Anytime.
239-1310. This afternoon's Amos. We'll take a break. We'll be back with your reactions, my reactions, and more. Tomorrow, we're at the Center for Leadership Development, 2400 block of Dr. Martin Luther King Street. Center for Leadership Development has done a lot and touched a lot of people in nearly 40 years of service. And it's like CLD Day tomorrow. And we'll be telling you about the positive programs, educational programs, that have helped literally thousands of African-American young men and women. And CLD is trying to get them to reconnect with the organization as well as tell the broader community who may not know what Center for Leadership Development, CLD, is all about. That's the program tomorrow, next Wednesday. Tamika Catchings and the superintendent of IPS, Dr. Louis Farabee. And a lot more coming up next week. So Afternoons with Amos after these.
This is Dr. Ian Smith from Celebrity Fit Club and the 50 Million Pound Challenge, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light, Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
Well, now, there was a third page of the mayor's statement, and in the mayor's statement, as he looks forward, is the only mention of education, talking about a greatly expanded educational opportunities for children in the city, and then mentions his bipartisan agreement to fund the preschool initiative, and that's a whole nother mess we'll talk about next week. Let me go to Larry right quick. Hi, Larry.
You make a prediction right now.
What's the prediction?
It's going to be a Donde
and no.
Chief Height and a bloody primary for the mayors.
I can't.
Donde might win. But anyway, the thing about it is people think about public safety, right? Now, I know this for a fact, okay? The situation that Mayor Ballard has set up with the DPW and with the public safety, which gets the lion's share of our budget,
right.
What he does is he gets them a tramp from out of town, like Height, or not Height necessarily, but like Riggs or the other boy that came before him.
Mm-hmm.
He gets them in place as a public safety director. That way, he can go to them and say, give me $20 million. They give him $20 million. See what I mean?
Right.
That's the nasty little connection. Bart Peterson started it when he had Turner as the public safety director for a showpiece. Then he had somebody in the back that would do those transactions for him. My question to the next mayor is, will you continue the policy of using public safety and DPW money as a piggy bank to give to your developer friends? And one more thing about Mayor Ballard, or two more things, is that we're over $3.5 billion in bond debt that is secured by our city because of these construction projects. Also, Mayor Ballard, you probably like him if he wasn't a mayor, but he's just an old country boy that got lucky and got in there for two terms. We can't blame him for what he done. He probably don't know what he did. If we don't know, we'll find out, though.
Let me go to Jack right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Well, the only thing, how you doing? The only thing I can say I appreciate about the mayor, he got rid of all this corruption in the Napa's head with the police department and they don't tell him what else when he got in office. So kudos to the mayor for getting rid of most of the corruption.
Wait a minute. What corruption was going on before he got in?
Well, when I first moved here, all you could hear was police is stopping guys, taking their drugs, taking their money. And don't you remember he got rid of a bunch of them? Am I on the wrong note? I do remember that. I had just moved here, and the police was robbing the drug dealers, taking the drugs, taking the money. And I do recall several of them got rid of.
I don't remember that, but I'm not gonna challenge your memory, because you may have a better memory on that than I do. I don't remember that, but I'm not gonna dispute you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. 239-1310. 239-1310. The mayor's decision is not a sudden decision. And I had noticed all summer that it just seemed that the mayor's heart wasn't in it anymore. Several times during the summer, as the violence got worse, at one point the mayor was talking about that we've got to deal with young teens and young people. And then suddenly flipped the script to try to do the preschool thing. And then when the preschool thing came, he really didn't have his heart in it to really barnstorm and push his proposal the way I think he would have done earlier. And it just seemed like his heart wasn't in it. He knew this was going to be a tough campaign against a tough competitor. And, you know, there's a point after 8 years, you know, doing a big city mayor is not an easy job. that it's time to walk away from the table and walk away with what he feels is successes. Let me go to Dorian right quick. Hi, Dorian. Dorian?
How you doing, Mr. Brown?
I'm fine. You got 1 minute.
All right. My question is this. If you didn't vote, why are you complaining?
So all those people that didn't vote in 07 and didn't vote in 11, they don't need to complain. They need to vote next year when it's mayor
that's
time.
That's it, because that's how you put into all of it. Vote. Hey, we can't blame nobody but ourselves because we got the Amos Brown show.
Let me ask you, Dorian, what should the quality be in the next mayor?
The next quality this man needs to have.
Yeah.
Hey, first of all, I only got a minute. Hey, Miss, I'm going to just say this.
Yeah.
Hey, he don't need to be corrupt. He needs to be fair across the board.
Needs to be
with
fair.
All the city services and all the departments. He needs to be fair across the board. And that has not happened since the Bart Peterson administration and on down. It needs to be fair across the board.
All right. I appreciate that, Dorian. Thank you. And again, it, like I said, it's very interesting, and we'll put the mayor's statement up on our website, praiseindy.com, because you really need to read how he considers his accomplishments and then measure those against the quality of your life and measure what the mayor said himself. He feels he was the best African, best mayor for African Americans in the history of Indianapolis. He said that, Drew. And I think that's how our community needs to measure and evaluate his 8 years in office. Did he meet his own standard? It's not a standard I set. That's not a standard Drew set. That's not a standard you set. It's a standard he set. And told y'all what his standard was. So it needs to be measured against that. In my view.